If you're looking for love and acceptance from anywhere but the King, you are wrong, and it is going to lead to death. This is what is destroying men. What are we looking for when we talk about a masculine man? Because God's version of this and the world's version of this are two different things. What really held me back from being the leader that I needed to be for my wife and for being able to love my children in a way that I'm an example for them and I'm showing them how to walk into the world was selfishness. You're focused more on your goals at work than you are your children. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Art of Suffering podcast with Dalton Darnell. Today, we are in the post-edit media studio. My buddy Daryl Puckett from one of the earlier episodes has started his business. He's got it rocking down here in Foley, Alabama. He's got this new studio set up, so we came down to film today. I just got done shooting his podcast, the Not in Church podcast, and it was a lot of fun. We talked about a lot of hard-hitting stuff in that deal. And I also shot with his wife today on the Morgan Means Business podcast. So those links will be below. Go check those out if you want to hear more about either my business life or my viewpoints on the church. It was a great interview with Daryl. A lot of fun, as usual. Today's episode is a little different. I'm going to kind of give you a life update on some things I've been wanting to talk about with you guys and kind of give you updates on in my life. Additionally, I asked Morgan today, Daryl's wife, I was like, man, what should I talk about on the podcast? And she threw something out there. We're going to dive into that later in this episode. With that being said, 2026 is right around the corner. I think I'm going to focus pretty heavily next year on solo episodes. So shoot me content ideas, questions, concerns, leave them in the comments, what you want me to talk about. I'm sure I'll still have guest episodes now and then, but the schedule's getting kind of crazy with all the clinics and stuff. If you guys haven't watched the Rope America Tour, lots of cool things going on with it. The highlight videos are up on the YouTube channel. Go check that out. Just search Dalton Darnell on YouTube. So, with that being said, life update. Guys, we are sober as a judge, baby. We ain't drank nothing since the last time I told you we quit drinking. And it is, God totally abolished it. I don't even have the urge. My opinion to you, if you're trying to quit any habit, if you're trying to destroy any stronghold of the enemy, do a fast. Do a 72-hour fast. Replace food with prayer and the word. Get in there. Allow the Lord to deconstruct your heart in this way. It was absolutely life-changing for me, and I haven't drank since. Feel great. Got back in the gym. Maxed my deadlift yesterday. I hit 315. I hadn't deadlifted in like 3 years, so felt pretty strong about that. My arthritis is feeling good. I'm struggling with it a little bit, but I was able to deadlift that 315 without using wrist wraps, which is not a normal thing. Normally, I have to use wrist wraps for everything, but yesterday we were feeling froggy, so we jumped. With that being said, update on the miscarriage. Guys, thank y'all so much for the outpouring of prayer and just lifting my family up. That was a really, really hard time, and it's something we continue to think about often. My wife is doing really, really good after the DNC. She had the surgery and all the things, and she has had this unbelievable change in her depression and anxiety and is doing really good, guys. She still wants a baby really bad, which is great for me. And I want a baby too. So y'all be praying for that. We're praying for the new little one to come. We already got names picked out. So if it's a girl, it'll be Maddie Ray. And if it's a boy, it will be William Ray. So we've just been trusting God with his timing and all the things we have coming on with that. And it's, he's totally fulfilled his promises. His plan for us is good. His plan is to prosper us and not to harm us. And we are so, so thankful for him guiding us through that hard time. With that being said, guys, we're going to dive into some meat here. So I asked, like I said, I asked Daryl's wife what I should talk about today on the podcast episode. And she said, where have masculine men gone? And this is something that a lot of pastors talk about. Philip Anthony Mitchell, Joby Martin. I think Joby Martin just released a book on this principle or these principles in the Bible. And I am in the process of writing my first book. I'm editing it. I can't believe I even said that out loud, but I'm playing with it. And I wrote a chapter yesterday or the day before yesterday called The Battlefield Dash the Flesh. And I think this is what is destroying men. And so that's kind of what I want to dive into here today. I want to jump into where the masculine men has gone. Where have they gone? And what are we looking for when we talk about a masculine man? Because God's version of this and the world's version of this are two different things. And Joby Martin, if y'all go follow that guy, he's a pastor. I think he's out of Florida maybe. But he covers a lot of this stuff. And I'm not going to dive in the same scripture as him. I just have one little verse I'm going to read to you that kind of sums it up for me. And as usual, I'm not going to make this a Bible study because I'm not good at that. I'm simply going to share my experiences with you and kind of how I came to the point to where I'm able to walk around in the world and love people but still be what God's asking me to be. And really what my big holdup with that was, why I was having a hard time with this. So the scripture I'm going to read you, it's going to be in the book. The book doesn't really have a title yet, but I've written the whole thing. Now I'm halfway through editing it. So it's coming. We just got to find a publisher and all the things. And Taylor Davis from a recent episode is helping me with that. Taylor, huge thanks for the input there on the book. But here we are in Galatians 5, and it's 5:17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is... excuse me. Let's try that again. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, I have an early episode of the podcast titled How You Feel Doesn't Matter. This runs right along with that. And I truly believe that men... they get hung up in the flesh. Now, the flesh in and of itself is just, it's literally your physical body, and then it's all these cravings and desires of the world. So the easy ones to point out are like food, right? What you put in your mouth, porn, sex, all these things are desires of the flesh when it comes to a man. But really what bound me up with the flesh is the most, right? I've struggled with porn in my life. I've struggled with overeating in my life. I've struggled with alcohol in my life. And we've talked about these topics at great length on the podcast. But what I want to get into, what really held me back from being the leader that I needed to be for my wife and for being able to love my children in a way that I'm an example for them and I'm showing them how to walk into the world, was selfishness. And these are the sins of my forefathers, right? Like lots of men that walk around in the world, they just do what they want to do. And some of this can look like a bad thing. It can look like drugs, alcohol, sex, or whatever. Those are the easy ones to spot. But the ones I want to talk about today are the harder ones to recognize, the ones that the world applauds, that the world applauds, right? That all your buddies are like, yeah, man, great job. But you're doing it at the expense of your family. And basically, all this boils down to is selfishness and the desire for comfort, right? If you're looking for love and acceptance from anywhere but the King, you are wrong, and it is going to lead to death. And for myself, what I call these is death roads. And I traveled three major death roads in my life, and I'm going to cover those today. So the first death road that I went down was baseball. I thought that if I was a good enough ball player, I would be loved and accepted by my family, and that they would just praise me and think I was the greatest thing ever. And so what I didn't have in skill, I made up for in spades and hard work. And I practiced baseball more than anyone I knew. I went all off season and practiced the entire time to try to be as good of a catcher as I possibly could be. And what I was looking for is this love and acceptance from the world. From my peers, from my coaches, from my teachers, from the girls at the school, and then from my family. And time ended this. And I went and I tried to walk on at a community college to play ball, and I just knew I wasn't good enough to play there, and time ended this death road for me. Because my identity was wrapped up in how good of a ball player I was, and that's why I was so concerned with my batting average and how many people I threw out as a catcher and all of these things. This segues into the second death road. Now, when I was a kid, my dad was a bass fisherman, and he fished tournaments all over town there, and And I just thought it was the coolest thing. And I got an opportunity in college to fish. And I happened to be, unlike baseball, I was pretty naturally talented at fishing. I was pretty good at hunting a fish down and catching them, and I was good at catching big ones. And so we had a lot of success in college fishing. And me and my college fishing partner, Tyler Strock, we fished in national championships and SEC championships, and we did really good. But again, this death road is summed up with the fact that my identity was wrapped up in my ability to catch a fish, which that's what makes it a death road. It's the heart behind the road, right? If I take my identity into fishing that God has given me, and I fish and I enjoy what God has made for us to enjoy, but my concern is more for the men around me fishing, well, then it's a good thing. It's not a death road. There's life in that. Christ is walking with you in it. He is the focal point, not the fishing. But if your identity is wrapped up in something as stupid as fishing, it's not going to be a good deal, and the only thing at the end of that road is going to be death. And so as I went through college, I kept my grades up so I could fish, and I came to kind of the end of the college deal, and I dropped out. And when I dropped out, I decided that I was a good enough fisherman to go do it at a high level. So I took out tens of thousands of dollars in debt. I bought a boat, and I paid, you know, thousands of dollars in entry fees, and I went and fished three major tournaments. The first one I went to was in Okeechobee, Florida. This is in South Florida. It's one of the best fisheries in the state. It's a lot of fun to fish at. And I went down there, and day one I did pretty good. Day two, I blew my motor up, and I didn't make it to weigh in, so I didn't cut a check. Well, the second tournament of this series that I'd already paid for was on a lake called Lake Gunnersville, and it's in northern Alabama. And I'd had lots of success here in the past, and I just knew that this was my tournament. I knew I could win this one. If I won this one, I could pay off all my debt, and I could keep fishing and pay all my bills. And I went up to Lake Gunnersville 2 weeks before the tournament. I fished for 2 weeks straight on that lake, spent every dime I had, and I fished 2 9-hour tournament days and didn't get a bite. And I loaded my boat on that trailer. I will never forget this. Leaving that fishing tournament knowing that it was over and that I didn't have the money to continue and that I wasn't going to make it. I just knew I wasn't going to make it. And this devastated me. It absolutely destroyed my confidence. And I really believed that God was going to make it happen for me because this is what I was supposed to be doing, right? This is what I'm good at, right? And it had nothing to do with God. It was all about Dalton. The heart posture towards the fishing was my glory, not God's glory. And that's what makes it a death road instead of a life road. So after this destruction of self, when it comes to fishing, I dove into my work. And this would be the third death road. It segued me into, I'd been working at Outback Steakhouse as a bartender for several years. And I would fish during the day and bartend at night. And I dropped out of college, the fishing was over, so I went into management for Outback. And from a worldly perspective, I was a successful 23-year-old guy. I was the highest paid salary manager, the youngest and the highest paid salary manager in the state of Alabama at the time. And from the outside looking in, everybody was really proud of that. But I started drinking and being mean to people, and just, I hated that job so much. And my daily routine kind of looked like, you know, you wake up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you get to work by 3, you work from 3 to 1 in the morning, you go home, you play Call of Duty and drink a 12 pack, and then you go to bed and do it all over again. And this lasted for about a year. And it at the end of that year, Kara came to me, my now wife, I was dating her at the time, and she was like, I love you so much. You're just undependable. You're no good, man. Like, I can't marry you. And this was my snap back to reality off of the death road. It pulled me back down into, okay, what's good in my life? And why am I about to lose that? And if you start looking at this critically, right, and that's a short version of that story, but I'm trying to get to my point here. It's selfishness. It's comfort. It's the desire for comfort. And, you know, I wasn't doing anything manly. And it's not that the job wasn't manly. I was coming home playing video games and drinking beer till I passed out every day of my life. Like, what kind of woman would follow that kind of man? It's silliness. Well, who would even expect her to? And she followed me through the fishing and through all of that heartbreak for me and was very empathetic. And she didn't even have to be because my identity was wrapped up in something that didn't matter. But the fact of the matter is if you look at these things, all of them are dependent upon the heart posture. Is it for Dalton or is it for the kingdom? Because if it's for Dalton, there's going to be nothing but death. That's it. And it says that in the next chapter of Galatians. I was just reading it a minute ago before I started the podcast. In the next chapter of Galatians, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." And so if you're walking around in the world, and let's say you've beat porn, let's say you quit drinking, right? Let's say you control your eating habits and you're not just a fat slob walking around your house. But you're still neglecting your family for your own personal gain. You're still following the selfish temptations that your buddies congratulate you for, but your wife is seething in the background because she's been neglected. You're focused more on your goals at work than you are your children. This is the flesh, dude. This is you craving something to make you feel good. And once again, like I stated in the other episode, how you feel doesn't matter. It's the battle of the spirit and the flesh. And what me and Daryl talked about in his episode, the Not in Church episode, was that men feel like they need all of these things, right? And a masculine man, a true masculine man, is a servant leader, okay? He stands firm in the faith, he's a servant leader, and he does everything that he does in love. That's what he does. For other people, okay? So the question you might ask me is, who's supposed to meet my needs? Right? Who's supposed to meet Dalton needs? If I'm out here serving everyone else, how am I going to get my needs met? Jesus. So you focus on the king, you allow Christ to meet your needs, and your wife and your children will be sanctified through you. So if you come to me and you say, "Dalton, I need my wife to have sex with me, right? I need to eat, right? I need money." Yes, you do. And if you try to get all these things under your own volition, you're going to fail. Relationships will be destroyed. It says it right there, right? If you sow the desires of the flesh, you will reap destruction. That's what it says in the truth, right? So the question is, how do I get my needs met? Well, you get them met through Christ. So you go to the king and you say, "Lord, I want what you want. Send me wherever you want me to go. Tell me to do whatever you want me to do. And the king will meet your needs." Because here's what's going to happen. If you become a man that is following the king, your wife is going to follow you. Your wife is going to want to sleep with you. You are a man worth following. Because you are equally yoked with the Spirit. You are hunting God's heart for you. You are hunting to do what God wants you to do, not what Dalton wants to do. And I spent basically my whole life doing this, right? Dalton comes up with a plan, Dalton runs the plan, destruction. Dalton comes up with another plan, Dalton runs the plan, destruction. Over and over and over and over, right? When I found myself in a marriage that my wife didn't want to sleep with me, this was me reaping what I sowed. I sowed selfish seeds in my life. And so when you sow selfish seeds in your life, what do you end up with? You end up with you standing there like an idiot because your plans are no good. They're no good. So you go to the truth. You say, "All right, Lord, What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Send me. I will go. How do I love my wife? How do I love my kids? How do I be a servant leader? Right? It's all in there. It's all in the book. And so what you find is a ton of men out there just hunting to fix the cravings of their flesh. And your wife has a responsibility, of course, but it's far easier for her to exceed these expectations if you are a man worth following. And there's only one good thing about you, and that's Jesus in you. It's the same for me. Dalton is no good. Dalton's plans are not good. Nothing good has come from me. It's all Christ. And so my challenge to you is to start recognizing the lies of the flesh. You don't need all those things. You need Jesus. You need to hunt him. You need to seek his heart. You need to seek his heart in a way that changes your life. And it will change your wife's life. And it will change your children's life. This is it, man. That is a manly man. A manly man is a guy that says, Lord, I am not enough. I need your strength to do this. And then guess what? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. He will give it to you. He will give you what you need to persevere, to push through. Because you trying to do it on your own is going to lead to nothing but destruction. This is a transformation. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. This is something you're going to have to seek, right? You're going to have to look for it. You're going to have to look inside of yourself and have extreme ownership for you and your flesh. And you're going to have to ask the Lord to deconstruct those parts of your heart. You have to. Because once again, you can't fix yourself on your own. The flesh is strong. The desires are strong. And I am in no way, shape, form, or fashion sitting here telling you this is going to be easy. But this is the calling of the man. To serve, to lead, to love. And then the people that are around you will follow, dude. I'm telling you. This was a good pitch for Morgan. It really was. I really had a lot of fun on her podcast today. Y'all should go listen to it. Morgan Means Business. I talked more about Jesus than business. But this is a big question, man. Where have the masculine men gone, right? Like, what has happened to masculinity? And Joby Martin says that the most dangerous phrase for a man is, I got this. And that's the truth, man. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. And neither do I. And if you think you got something, you're going to reap destruction. You're just going to. You're going to screw it all up. There's no point in even trying on your own. You're gonna, and that's okay. We'll be here sitting with you when you get done, and then you'll be sitting there waiting on me when I get done. Because it's hard to combat this. It's hard to combat this. But at the end of the day, your wife deserves more, your kids deserve more, and you know it. That's why you're listening to this podcast. That's why I'm making the freaking podcast. Because I know that they deserve more. And I know that inherently I am selfish. And I seek comfort. And that's not what we're called to do, man. Like, if you find yourself comfortable, dude, get up and do something, man. Get off of that. Like, that's for bedtime. You know what I mean? That's for intimate moments with your wife. On a day-in and day-out basis, you should be uncomfortable. Whether it's the conversations you're having, the things you're doing, the requests from the king for your mission, like, these things should make you uncomfortable. And you should relish in this. You should be excited about the suffering that's going to ensue from your purpose for the kingdom of God. It's freaking awesome, dude. It's the greatest calling there is. But the first step to being a manly man is submission to the king. It just is. You have to understand that you're not enough. But you can't do it. Y'all leave a comment. What do you want to hear about next? What do you want to talk about? I'm sure I'll have some guests next year. First year of the podcast went awesome. I think we're up to, I don't know how many people listen to this thing, but it's a couple hundred. Maybe 300 or 400, which is crazy. Thank you. It's crazy to me. I got 7 clinics scheduled for next year. If you want to host a clinic, if you're into roping, I'd love to come teach. I've been doing some speaking at some cowboy churches, so if you want me to come speak somewhere, I'll caution you. I'm a little off the cuff, obviously, but I'll come speak. Guys, if you need me, reach out. Dalton@310edu.com, as usual. I'd love to hear from you. I get so encouraged when people send emails talking about how the podcast is helping folks. It's pretty unbelievable to me. But I love you guys. It's been a great year. 2026 is going to be awesome. We got a lot of big things coming at 310. I got a lot of plans for the podcast. We're going to try to build a little studio at the house. But I love it. I love it. I love what God's doing with it. It's all him. The book, we're working on that still. It's pretty cool. It's pretty fun to write that stuff down. If you got a lot in your brain, sit down and write it down, because it's pretty fun to get it out and kind of organize it. So we'll see. That might come out next year. But I sure do appreciate you guys listening and the support. And if you're struggling with drinking, if you're struggling with porn, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you're having a hard time, reach out, man. Reach out. I have people reach out to me almost every day. And know that I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I love you. And I want to help you. And so nothing's too crazy. You just reach out to me and we'll work through it best we can. I'm here to walk on the road with you. I'm here to love you down the path. And for as long as you're on my path, I'm here to walk it with you. And that's my goal, is to love you guys and walk with you. So with all that being said, reach out if you need me, and never weaken.